Blog Talk Radio.
The Cafe is back in business. Let's go, Sports City. Okay. Man, the call-in number is 929-477-2759. Boy, City, I'm so focused. There's just something about that beat that's getting me rolling. Even though I'm from the tri-state, you know, in the New England area, there's something about the state of Pennsylvania and the city of Philly. I got family down there in Philly. I just feel it. Like, I just get my goosebumps going. But I got to get this cafe wide open, ready to rock and roll. The season is underway. We just seen some things go down Tuesday, but I can't go any further without my co-host and my brother, R. Keeley Royce King. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, Timeless, man. Ready to rock and roll. It's a beautiful day out here in the 702. You know what it do. Rocking with you right here, Sports City Chefs, Master Chef Edition, Crossover Cafe. I'm going right, ooh, going left, one step, kaboom, black suits filled the room. Who dropped that line? Hurry up, Thomas. Who was it?
So who gonna make the term Junior Mafia? The Clay, act up. I have my honey, go to Russia. Bro, don't get me talking to Biggie. Don't get me to start Brooklyn in this out, man. Man, I could even start right there in that borough, man. I mean, I don't know if you want to start in that borough. We could talk about the Battle of L.A., man. There's a lot of stuff to jump into.
You gonna freak the oop or not?
I freaked it. I gave you the rest of the line, the artist, Christopher George Wallace. I can give it all to you. I gave you his full name.
So
his middle name went
out. So I answered your question. We must be starting in Brooklyn.
Okay, so we going to the K. Okay, so here goes Southern Sports City about the K, right? And I hate to be like the poo-poo of this situation, right? But we're like 365 days away from the real entrance of Brooklyn, because right now this is like a warm-up, because we don't get to see Kevin Durant right now, right? Which everybody wants to see them at full throttle, which Kevin Durant was just on air a few days ago with Serge Ibaka saying that he plans to sit out the whole year. And even though with the pieces that they have there now, DeAndre Jordan and company, they have the leader of the team as of now, and Kyrie Irving. And it's funny that you say Irving with the Nets team, because it's Kyrie Irving and it's Julius Irving. I mean, I'm showing my age, even though I didn't get to see too much of Dr. J when I was little, but hey, I'm going to just start it off right there. But nevertheless, in the middle of Brooklyn, we had a battle go down. Not only did Kyrie go off for a 50 burger, but this is something that, you know, I'm happy that I got Sports City. I got a brother of mine right here, even though he in the Valley, but he an East Coast boy like me. And me and my brother hit this right on the head, right on the head. And we were talking about Western Conference teams. And I went first, even though I don't know if Royce had it set up like that. But when I went first, Royce went after me and said the Minnesota Timberwolves too. And this is an interesting win that they got out of the gate. But the one guy that I said that could and should and would be leading the team would be Cat, Karl Anthony Towns. And it's not like a miss on that situation. Of course, a lot of people look to them or look towards Wiggins. But Cat came out with a big game alongside of Kyrie. Kyrie went off for 50, but Cat had another one of those 30 and 14 type of games. But still, yeah, that's enough to get out the gate and get a big win in Brooklyn, no less. Royce, your thoughts on the game, the notables, and how they move forward out of the gate for both teams?
Well, let's paint the picture very, very vivid and clear when it comes to Karl Anthony Towns, for those who may not have witnessed his exploits. Karl Anthony Towns was 7 of 11 from three-point range last night, Timeless.
That's
five man. 7 of 11 And I'm talking about a quick release for a five man, okay? Hitting nothing but bottoms of the net, okay? And we already know this guy is a dominant rebounder. He's durable, healthy, consistent. He seems to be highly motivated this season. And, look, they're playing through him a lot more, giving him opportunities to operate at the top of the circle, creating for his teammates. So 36-14, three assists, three steals, three blocks for the fantasy lovers out there. I mean, a great stat line by Carl Anthony Towns. But I do want to address a guy for the Minnesota Timberwolves who was receiving some heat, suffered some fire. Even during the broadcast, they were talking about Andrew Wiggins. And, I mean, this guy, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve criticism because I think he's actually, you know, underachieved and underperformed since coming into the league. However, I was tuned in and watching. And even though I'm citing a tweet, and let's give credit where credit is due, Micah Adams tweeted, Andrew Wiggins was minus 26 in 36 minutes in a game his team won. Meaning in the 17 minutes he was on the bench, Minnesota outscored Brooklyn by 27 points. Now, you can go any way you want to go with that. You can't dispute those facts. However, narrative-wise, I want to address real quick, yo, don't run off and act like Wiggins is still on some bum-type stuff in terms of his play, because as that game got close, due to the heroics and the exploits of Kyrie Irving, who it seemed like he was going to hit everything he threw up, they were making a run. And Coach Saunders called a timeout, and next thing you know, Timeless, Minnesota was no longer playing through Cat. The ball was in Andrew Wiggins' hands, and he was coming off Cat screens, getting downhill, getting to the bucket, finishing layup, floater. He could not be stopped. I'm pretty sure he did it 4 to 5 times in a row. Did I hear the commentator change their speech and be like, oh, Andrew Wiggins has come alive? No. Did I hear anybody's tweet saying, oh, Andrew Wiggins was huge, he was clutch, he helped preserve that win? They end up having to go to overtime, but Andrew Wiggins was huge in the buckets that he did score? No. I'm telling you, I think Andrew Wiggins is going to have a big season, so stay tuned.
The one thing that baffles me about the situation is that I was concerned about him out of the draft when he came out of Kansas. Like, everybody was hype about him, you know, so on and so forth. And I'm like, I want to see him get his feet, you know, wet. Like, he has to get through the NBA and start to feel his way out. And that's the one thing about Andrew Wiggins that is a concern for me. I don't want to say a bother, but it concerns me is his inconsistency. And just like you said, his plus-minus was – that's bad. I don't care how you paint the picture. That's bad. And if the team is successful with you being off the floor, then they're going to start to question that if this continues. Now, I don't want to say out the gate or after a week, but I want to say around, like, December, maybe February, if it's like, oh, the team is successful, but he's giving you, you know, just some middle-of-the-range numbers, that's something that they're going to look at like, hey, he might have to run with the second unit or something, I don't know, but – he's doing just enough right now. This is fresh out the gate and going up against a Brooklyn team who's hyped to have a new star right now. It was stars. Let me say two of them, because DeAndre there also. Like I said, they're waiting for KD. But Andrew Wiggins, this is your time right now. You are the one that they were pointing their fingers at last year. Last year, this was the team that, you know, Jimmy Butler was like, you know what, I'm running with the second squad and I'm beating the starters. Like, no, this can't continue. Like, you got to take some of this personal, come out there and then give them more than 21 a night. Or I mean, your average has to be higher than 21. And it has to be success while you're on the floor. You just can't get those gimme buckets that they're giving you. You got to be able to, you know, break these teams back and make them pay while you're on the floor. So, again, this is the first game out the gate. I don't want to wait too much on Wiggins right now, but already they have some type of script set on him and his plus minus.
But here's the thing, Thomas. This is what I'm saying. Like, so many people are writing just off of box scores that they're looking at. They're not putting their eyes on the game. And here's what I noticed. And I'm gonna keep it, you know, 1,000. I'm not an Andrew Wiggins fan, let alone a huge fan. I don't see a lot of the Minnesota Timberwolves, but I see tons of basketball. And, you know, to know that Karl-Anthony Towns was as hot as he was, and to know that Andrew Wiggins wasn't really hot, okay? But when the head coach calls your number and you answer the call of duty, you got to be recognized. If we're going to kill him for not being who we wanted him to be to this point, we got to recognize that he's taking a step. And I'm telling you, every time his number was called in the clutch last night, he delivered. Say when the game was tied, it was like 2.9 seconds left, I think, in regulation, and they weren't able to advance the ball. So they had to heave it half court. He catches it, you know, at the top of the three-point circle, makes a move, and gets off a pretty good look. I mean, it doesn't go down, but you got to give this man props for responding and taking that shot. It's a lot of guys who shy away from that. People have killed LeBron James his whole career, feeling like he shies away from actually taking the last shot. And my final point with Andrew Wiggins is he put up 27 shots last night. And minus that one like I just told you about that he missed, he probably hit the last out of 10 that he made. He hit the last, he hit eight. I mean, four of them. I saw him hit 4 to 5 straight. So 10 for 27, that reminds me of an Allen Iverson stat line. I'm not saying he's Allen Iverson. I'm saying his head coach says, you're going to lead the team in field goal attempts. Cat only took 22 shots. Andrew Wiggins took 27. So if Coach Ryan Saunders is making it his mission to get Andrew Wiggins off this season, and he started in game one, he might not have led the team in scoring, but he led in field goal attempts. And you can't lead the team in field goal attempts if you're not committed to shooting the ball. So, you know, we'll keep it moving.
Okay, I just want to know if that's the approach that they're going to have, if he's the, you know, the volume guy. So we'll see how it does go down. I don't want to get too hung up, just like you said, I don't want to get too hung up in the Minnesota Brooklyn matchup, but this game went extra, and it was everything that we all wanted to see. You know, it went to overtime, and Brooklyn ended up losing this game by one. Kyrie ended up going over 50. I'm wondering if Kyrie could keep this momentum going. If Kyrie can average over, let's just say, 32 points a game, I want to be fair. I don't think he keeps this 50 going. If he does, then this is just remarkable. But hey, he had to pick
off
his points.
Off of 33 shots, I hope not.
Right. I'm trying to just set something, you know, something nice and level for him right now, and knowing that he has a lot to shoulder offensively and keeping everybody involved as of now. But the one thing that I do want to get to right now, and there's some games that I do want to get to that took place last night. I got to, and there's no way I could dodge this dish by any means. The Battle of L.A. And I'm glad I'm in this kitchen right now with Arkeezy. And, you know, everybody had their thoughts and opinions about the game. I'm glad I get to talk to you about it because we're back in the cafe. Now, this to me really felt like one of the, one of the pinpoint matchups of LeBron and Kawhi going at it. Because, you know, everybody goes back to the 2013 and 2014 situation, where in 2014 Kawhi ended up getting the better of LeBron. And you were really seeing these guys, you know, not really go head-to-head as much as they did in those 2 years and those two seasons right there. But Kawhi and the Clippers take care of business up against that Lakers team, in which you had Coach Vogel go out there with the death lineup with all tall guys, even though Kuzma's not back. But once Kuzma gets there, there's going to be a lot more length on the floor. I'm going to say this. I'm not even going to put this plate in front of you and have you like it. It is kind of like the I don't even want to say slop because I cook well, you know. But your thoughts on LeBron at the point, like I'm not hung up on that. I, like me personally, I'd rather have LeBron move throughout that offense and let the ball come to him and let him distribute the way he does. Like him at the top and just making that pass and waiting for something to happen and it not happening. Like, LeBron has to be in that offense. I could care less if he made the pass or he wants to make a no-look or hook these guys up with some alley, so on and so forth, and get the crowd hyped. This is what it's going to take. LeBron has to be in the midst of that offense. Vogel, do not be the coach that messes this up, because if you don't do this right, you better look off to your left or if you're right. Well, let me see. Yeah, off to your left and look down that bench. There's two coaches that are next to you right now that are assisting you that could run the show, especially with all of the pieces that you have defensively and offensively. And there's one thing that I've seen during the timeout during this game. I had totally forgot that Boogie Cousins is waiting to be healthy to be back a part of the team. So they got Boogie, they got Dwight, they got McGee, and they got AD. Like, they got length everywhere, let alone once Kuzma comes back. So it's like this is a can't-miss situation. Even though that Clippers team is hungry and looking like one of the favorites, I want to say the favorite of the West to win the West right now, because they're missing PG. They did this without Paul George. So your thoughts on the Battle of L.A., and we'll get right into this dish.
Well, I think, you know, this is just the first of, what, 3-4 matchups plus potential, you know, head-on collision in postseason play. You know, I've said many times, man, that these two teams aren't going to really show their hand. They know they've got to see each other. They got to deal with each other. You know, the regular season matchups, you know, we're going to make a big issue about it. But in terms of the player personnel, they know it's going to come down to a series when it's just you in a race to four games, four wins, that is, to advance to the next round. But in terms of this, you know, opening night regular season, I thought it was enough hype about it. The whole Kawhi, LeBron, look, it's going to be what it's been. Kawhi's younger than LeBron, and he's good. So when you're really good, when you're a top five player in the league, basically, and you're younger than, you know, the consensus or the reigning, you know, best player in the league, quote unquote, the king, you're going to pose a problem. And so it's, you know, Kawhi is made in the fashion of, and everybody, you know, last year was like, oh, trying to figure out who's the first to coin, you know, Kawhi is MJ-ish. None of the people who claimed it, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the San Antonio Spurs organization. Who was the individual? Was it Greg Popovich? Was it the training staff? Whoever the collective was that decided that as they were fashioning Kawhi Leonard's offensive game, they gave him an overdose on Michael Jordan videotapes. I've talked about that in the kitchen for like 3 years, that this guy, when he was developing, he was working on a shot that was respectable, an offensive game that you had to honor on the perimeter. It was them giving him all that he could handle, just watch MJ. They just kept showing him more MJ video. And so people couldn't see it because he wasn't the carbon copy like a Kobe Bryant. He didn't appear to the surface and the naked eye that he moved like MJ, but if you really study the game, you know it. So Kawhi is just younger than LeBron, man, and his mindset is to score and get buckets. LeBron is about magic. Let me get everybody involved. Let me look out for my teammates. Let me make a showtime move. Let me make the best play for my team to win. Like, they're not the same. So I'm just tired of that whole conversation. But the matchup, that night, it really just boiled down to, I think the Clippers really wanted it more. They performed better as a collective team. I thought that in terms of the distribution of the shots, just an OD on LeBron getting, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis getting the lion's share of field goal attempts. Even though Danny Green was efficient, I mean, yes, he almost scored 30 points, but you're talking about efficiency. He didn't get the type of field goal attempts as the dynamic duo. That being said, we're going to talk about them so much more this season. I rest my case.
No, definitely. I know we're going to talk about that more. But one thing that had me boggled is, one, LeBron, you have to be a piece of this offense. Like, you out of the gate and on everybody's watching. And he tried to – and LeBron made a statement saying that this matchup wasn't big. Like, really? Like, you know this is a big matchup out of the gate. At least if you don't want to say it, I know for a fact. I don't care less whoever want to come in and debate this. I don't care. This is a measuring stick regardless. Because, one, Kawhi is the NBA final MVP. He was just on that last team that won the finals in Toronto, even though they raised their banner. But he was the guy that kept everything knit together so they could take out the Warriors, like which the Warriors looked indestructible while they had KD, Clay, and Steph. And he basically took care of that team with role players, you know. So, LeBron, I could care less if you're trying to overlook the situation. That was a measuring stick game. And for them to be down early in that game because it looked like the length was going to bother them. Like they really looked like the Clippers couldn't get what they wanted. And then once they got, you know, comfortable within the game, the atmosphere totally changed. So, LeBron, I know this is the first game out the gate. I know the next couple of games you guys will really see how you look. But the tougher teams within the Western Conference, and don't forget, you are in the Western Conference. You are not in the East. It will not be an easy run to the finals, especially if you guys look like this right now, especially if it's only Danny Green knocking down jump shots. Like, if you don't have other people coming in there knocking down threes, this can be tough unless you guys are just going to play bully ball and get to the rim as much as possible, which can be easy because you got the bodies to do it. But we will see at the end of the day. But, again, they didn't have Paul George, and this was a game that I definitely tip my hat to the Clippers. It looks like the King of L.A. is wearing red, white, and blue right now. There's no more purple and gold. Well, they're around. I can't say that there's no more. But they're looking up to the red, white, and blue because last season the Clippers made the playoffs. The Lakers didn't. Okay, so.
Tommy, I got a breaking news comment.
Uh-oh.
Are you seeing what Trae Young is doing on opening night in 18 minutes and 51 seconds of first half action? I can't even talk. I'm so excited. The Atlanta Hawks are taking on the Detroit Pistons. They're currently at halftime. The Pistons are up 63-60, but that boy, Trae Young, has 26 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. He's shooting 60% from the field, and he's 5 of 7 from behind the arc. He's got 26 in the first half, in 18 minutes, mind you.
We talked about this in the green room before we started this show. So knowing that I'm hunting and looking around at other things, as soon as you woke me up to it, I went right back to the link that I had up for the game because I was looking at this game while we were in the green room. And just to see your stat line right now, I want to say this. Like, confidence, you could build off of confidence in any which way or form. He just had his rookie season. And to me, I felt like it should have been a cold rookie of the year. Like, a lot of people just hurried up and dumped it to Luka, but Luka had a good start at the beginning of the season and fizzled out. Trae came around and played tough throughout the end of the season. So it was like the phenom that they went with was the guy that's helping lift Dallas back up after they lost Dirk. So Trae, and this is his second season right now, like his confidence is going to probably be through the roof throughout this season and next season. I really want to see how he looks because he's confident right now. He's confident with what he has right now. And this is more or less, I don't even really want to paint this, I don't even think this is a bad picture, but he's on the Vince Carter farewell tour, so everybody's going to be watching this closely while Vince gets his last couple of shots up in his last NBA career. By this January, he'll be 42, but Trae's probably soaking up so much NBA knowledge and wealth from Vince and going into these arenas and trying to steal games, so on and so forth, and up against a Pistons team who cannot be sought after as a bad team because they're playing good ball. And the way Derrick Rose came out the gate, too, was another thing, too. So I know Trae has to be taking these matchups personally going up against the elite guards in the NBA. So for him to have this type of effort this early in the season, I just hope his consistency reigns with his confidence because this can get ugly real fast.
No doubt about it. I think you saw the numbers that guys were putting up last night. I mean, look, it's been some phenomenal scores, you know, put up some outstanding numbers in the first couple of nights of action. This is the Detroit Pistons' home opener. We know that they stole a game on the road in Indiana, knocked off the Pacers on Wednesday night. Drummond went for like 30 and 20 with like 5 or 6 blocks or something ridiculous. And now he has to figure out how he and his teammates can do a better job of containing one Trae Young, who has end-of-the-game stats in only 18 minutes. I mean, 26-6, you would have thought the game was over. He only played 18 minutes. He ain't even played 20 minutes yet.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen when he doubles that 18? Is he going to have 50, 52? Is he going to try to break Kyrie's mark? Like, Kyrie just dropped 50 last night. Is Trae Young going to go for 52, 55? I don't know. But I'm interested in continuing to observe what happens the rest of the evening. But back to what we discussed in here inside the kitchen, I just thought I'd give somebody like some right now in this moment game conversation.
Tupac said, I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at you. And looking at the numbers right now, and it's not fair for me to say it like this. I don't think he gets the 50. I don't. But 40 is feasible, and I would not be mad at a 40-point effort. Hell, I'm not mad at 26. He can stop right now if they win. If they won this game and he had 26, I'm happy with it, man. If he can get to 40, that's even better. But if he put up a 50-point night, man, there's going to be a lot of people trying to copy this out the gate. And speaking of which, we got another game in process with the Rockets and the Bucks going at it. The Rockets are up. Interesting. I don't want to say pretty big, but in an interesting pace, they're up 26-15 with a little under 3 minutes left in the first quarter. I mean, your thoughts on this game out the gate? Harden and Westbrook in their first season back together since 2012, and I mean, your thoughts on how this approach goes down?
Well, I'm excited to see really what it's going to be. I don't know. I know who these guys once were when they were together in Oklahoma City, but you're talking a number of seasons that have passed by. A lot has happened in their lives as professionals, as well as, you know, their personal lives off the basketball court. So can't wait to see what the Houston Rockets reveal to us as fans, to really, talk about. I want to observe how well these guys, play off of each other and how they keep Clint Capella involved, and if whether or not Daniel House and Eric Gordon are exactly what they need in terms of, the type of role player that just, makes the knockdown shot when you call their number. Because we know that Harden and Westbrook will probably take the lion's share of the shots. Then the next guy up would, again, be Clint Capella. But what happens when you're off on a particular night? What happens when you're playing teams that generally, spread their offense around? Are you going to do the same thing, or is it just going to be a two-man, show for 82 games plus postseason? The formula that we already know doesn't win, at least when it comes to the Houston Rockets. I mean, it gets you into the playoffs, but it doesn't get you into the NBA Finals. And I think these two guys have to be extremely desperate to get into the NBA Finals. If not, they know that the season, in terms of goal, if you will, is just a flat-out failure. On the other side, for the Milwaukee Bucks, timeless, I mean, some people are talking about, for Giannis to run it back, like he's going to, walk away with MVP again this season. I saw it last year. It was a lot of controversy. I didn't have an issue with him, winning the controversial MVP award last season. But to run it back this year, I don't think so. Doesn't mean he's not going to be equally as good, but I don't, let's not run that back. But continue to play at a high level because the Milwaukee Bucks need it. I'm not convinced that this Milwaukee Bucks team is really built to be an NBA champion. I think it's a good regular season team. I think Coach Budenholzer is outstanding with what he does in terms of getting what he needs to get out of his player personnel. However, I still believe that talent wins out in this league, and I'm just not sure that this roster is talented enough to hoist Larry O'Brien Trophy, even coming out of the East.
And it's going to be tough in both conferences, but to me, between Philly, Milwaukee, Toronto, those are the favorites, right, as of now, and I know a lot of things could change as the months go by, but Milwaukee would be in that conversation. Toronto is in that Ric Flair situation. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And I definitely can't overlook what Philly is able to do, especially in their first little glimpse of action as well. But we'll see. And like I said, I think that they're having a you know, with them to lose Brogdon, that's big, but they still have a good cohesion of players there in Milwaukee. Speaking of which, I mean, we started the show in the Keystone State, and I know your favorite team is in the Keystone State. So your thoughts on Philadelphia and their, I want to say, like the Quaker battle, if you will, between Boston and Philadelphia. But your thoughts on the Sixers out the gate and Ben Simmons and his confidence and with him with a new piece in the bag. I mean, your thoughts on the Sixers.
Well, you know, I have this Philadelphia 76ers since July 12th. I picked them to not only go to the NBA Finals, but to win the NBA Finals this season. I didn't see anything from anyone on the last two nights of basketball who opened the season yet that gives me reason to think otherwise. And to recognize and see the aggression, the assertiveness, if you will, on the court of Ben Simmons. Look, 16 field goal attempts. He flat out looked like he was the best player on the floor, even better than Joel Embiid. Solid game, efficient. Look, we know he's not a great shooter. So did he struggle from the free throw line? Did his free throw woes continue? Yes, he was 2 of 5. So, you know, for those who are looking for something to critique, if you will, there's that. Did he attempt a three-point shot last night? No, he did not. So there's that. But did they win against a rival opponent? And we know that Philadelphia and Boston will forever be a rivalry, whether these teams are up or down. Yes. And that's all that matters. And so I'm excited about this Sixers team. I'm excited about Ben Simmons. I'm equally excited about the rookie, Matisse Thybulle. I think this kid is going to be a special player on the defensive end, but don't get it twisted. He can knock down the outside shot, and he can finish in traffic. I mean, you're talking about a guy who can get steals, and when he gets a steal, you can almost ring it up as a bucket. He's not slow. He's fleet of foot. He's very, very smart. He speaks very well of himself, timeless. I think Matisse Thybulle is a name that the listeners inside Sports City need to get to know, because I think they'll be hearing his name for many years to come. I think he's going to be a long-term pro athlete in the NBA, hopefully all this season with Philadelphia.
Interesting enough for them to come up with this big of a win up against Boston, even though Boston are missing an interesting amount of pieces with Kyrie gone and now Horford on the other side of the bench, or on the other side of the fence, excuse me, not the other side of the bench, but the other side of the fence being with Philly after just being with the Celtics for a few seasons. It's interesting in itself for him to have a 16-point night. That was big. Embiid had a light 15 and 13 night. That was interesting as well. But like I said, Ben Simmons, he didn't go out there and shoot a three ball, but nevertheless, he looked like he was more focused on the offensive side of the ball other than just distributing, which I feel like he's going to have to get, you know, time to go by for him to at least throw up a shot and see one fall and then build more confidence within the jump shot. But just knowing that he came out in preseason and getting the jump shot up and knowing that this is in his bag and that he's going to have to take shots for these defenses to stay honest, this is big for Philadelphia. And like I said, they are a part of that conversation in top three teams in the Eastern Conference between Philly, Milwaukee, and also Toronto. As for now. But I'm impressed with what they were able to do coming out the gate. They do have an interesting starting five and a six man off the bench as well. So, Philadelphia is one of the clear-cut runners that we have to worry about in the Eastern Conference. Now, there is a game that did take place yesterday that I wanted to see how you felt about this one, Royce. And a lot of people will overlook this one, right? And I think Nas came in the kitchen last week and spoke about one of the players on this roster, and that is the Miami Heat. And for the way that they got it done, I think this was more or less a committee situation, even though – it was the Memphis Grizzlies. They came up with a 19-point deficit win over the Grizzlies in Miami, in which Justice Winslow was the guy that led the team in scoring. But they have people that could come out and get it done on the team. But this is game one, and Winslow was the lefty that got it done. I mean, your thoughts on the Heat out of the gate up against this Grizzly team, who really don't have too many pieces And this is the introduction of Ja Morant as well, who to me, like we talked about, just calling him Russell 2.0. I mean, your thoughts on the Heat out of the gate, especially with a guy like Tyler Herro that Naj had brought up, and I've been watching him, you know, all off season, and the way that he's been able to get his shot going. Your thoughts?
Well, first thing I'm going to do, Thomas, is I'm going to set it up as it should be seen in reality, in my opinion. Like, this Memphis Grizzlies team could easily be the Memphis Hustle. That's the G League affiliate, right? Look,
wow.
This isn't man, I'm just keeping it 1,000 in my opinion. And here's why I say it. Not just based on ability, not based on talent, but, you know, the G League team is pretty much, you know, it kind of comes together. It's not always guys that you've been playing with the last few seasons. You might get a different head coach, different system. Like, you got to realize this is a new head coach in Memphis. I don't even know his name. And I'm usually good. I usually make it my business to know the head coach's name. But off the top right now, I can't even tell you the head coach name for the Memphis Grizzlies. And then when I look at the player personnel and some of the things that have happened, I mean, look, we still don't have – there's no Andre Iguodala. They seem like they're giving up on Josh Jackson. He would just be in his third season. I think it's too early. Like, this is when players generally really go to that next move. And he didn't fail in any way, in my opinion, in terms of his talent while he was in Phoenix these past two seasons. It's like somebody has picked up a pen and decided they wanted to write a player off just because they have the ability to. And it just doesn't seem right. And so you're talking about one of their more talented players who could help with scoring the ball. He's not even with the team. His name is Josh Jackson. And the Memphis Grizzlies are making a mistake similar to the one that they made with Rudy Gay and O.J. Mayo. I guess they just don't like scorers there. Anyway, back to the Miami Heat, Timeless. Look, outstanding performance by Justice Winslow. I think Justice Winslow has done his duty to study and break down his game. And I know people are going to be like, man, you're crazy. But when I'm watching Justice Winslow, what I see is movement similar to one James Harden. I mean, look, that's just – I feel like he's a student of James Harden. I don't think he has James's touch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has James's vision. And obviously, he doesn't have the bag that James has. But is he studying James? Is he attempting to do the things that James would do in terms of being able to come off screens, you know, find teammates, get into the paint? Look, we know he's a big body. He finishes strong around the basket. Is he working towards something because he hasn't reached his ceiling yet? Yes. And I think he's in that mold of a James Harden. He'll probably never, you know, be what we know James to be. But what Miami needs is a dynamic ball handler similar to James Harden in the sense that if he takes you off the dribble, you got to pick your poison. You either let him finish or he's getting to the line, meaning you fouled him, meaning he got your team in foul trouble. You're in the bonus. They're getting free throws, whether it's him at the line or someone else. He's improved his three-point shot over the last season. You know, he made a couple of threes last night. And, I mean, look, Justice Winslow, season opener with no Jimmy Butler, 27-7-7 with the steal and the block. He was 10 for 21. I mean, look, 48% from the field, 6 of 9 from the free throw line. I mean, he's trending in the right direction for Miami. And when it comes to Tyler Herro, what can you say? This young man is just, he's not fazed by the change in the altitude, if you will, when it comes to moving up from the college ranks to the NBA ranks. He's making good decisions, and, you know, look, if he could – last night I'm not going to kill him because he shot 42%, but if for the season Tyler Herro shoots around 45 to 46%, you're talking about a successful rookie year, and you're talking about knowing that for seasons to come, at least the next three, you probably got to deal with Winslow, Herro, and Jimmy Butler. Oh, Timeless, did I forget Bam Adebayo? We got the Bam in the building with a double-double, 14 and 11. I mean, here's a kid who didn't shoot great from the field as a big 3 or 7, but he's going to have better shooting nights. So I'm excited about what the Miami Heat bring to the table. I think it was a easy win for them, honestly, in my opinion, because I don't think there was a lot in the Grizzlies' bag, but they did what they were supposed to do, and they won a game they were supposed to win.
And here goes the crazy part about it. Look, you mentioned everybody, right? And you even mentioned a point guard that can handle the ball. Their point guard that handles the ball came off the bench in Goran Dragic and had a 19-point effort. So without Jimmy Butler, with Goran coming off the bench, they did this with pieces that he was putting them all over the place. Spoelstra, I don't know what you're up to, but right now you could be one of those sneaky teams. I don't want to say sleeper because I know nobody's sleeping on you, especially with Jimmy Butler making that crash landing in Miami after all the Miami calls from Minnesota to Philly to get down to South Beach. So this could be a sneaky situation down in South Beach. So job well done, Miami, out the gate, taking care of business. The Grizzlies, I don't know what's going on as a team. They only hit 5 threes out the gate. This is going to be some work for them, at least in the Western Conference, to get stuff done. They could be one of the bottom feeders in the Western Conference, but the Heat, I say you guys are in a sneaky situation. I had to get that out there because I did want to talk about justice out of the gate already.
Thomas, speaking of sneaky, man. Well, speaking of sneaky, let me address Kendrick Nunn sneaking his way into the league, dropping 40 in a preseason game. And I was like, it's preseason. I'm not going to make a big fuss. I mean, yes, it's not, you know, it's look, you got to have something if you can drop 40, right? So, but I still right. Look, it's preseason. It's the last one of this season of preseason. I'm not going to make a big fuss because some guy dropped 40. I don't even know him. Hey, Kendrick Nunn, I know you now. You dropped 44 in the season opener. Even though I feel like it was against a G League squad, you still came back. You followed up a 40-point performance with 24 and not 11 or 14. For that, my young friend, I salute you and I respect what you're doing in Miami. And, again, if anyone's being sneaky timeless, it is truly the Miami Heat. They may have found something special in Kendrick Nunn. And I'm going to be watching to see how he continues to perform, especially this first month in the NBA.
Like I said, it's sneaky. This is sneaky. I don't want to say they're sleepers. They're not a sleeper. This is all sneaky down there in South Beach. So I'm watching closely Miami. Believe me, I'm not taking my goggles off by any means. I know Spoelstra just got the extension, so he has to do something right now because they're watching him close enough. Okay. There was another matchup last night that I wanted to jump into, especially the way that it was going down because it was a late feature last night, and that was the Denver Nuggets going into Portland and taking care of business, winning 108-100. Your thoughts on this matchup, because me, I have a piece that's in that roster for the Nuggets, being Jeremy Grant. I did not want to see him leave, but he's there now. This Nuggets team is loaded. For them to go into Portland and Portland not win no championship or anything, but knowing how close that they got to at least be the team in the Western Conference, you know what I'm saying? And for Denver to take everything that they had, deal with the onslaught of the crowd, so on and so forth, and win that game, interesting enough, and also having a Joker come out with a 20-13 rebound night. I mean, your thoughts on the Nuggets? I know we talked about them heavily. You woke a lot of people up last year, but this is no sleeping matter anymore. The Nuggets are one of those teams that are at the top of the Western Conference that you are going to have to pay attention to. And for them to go into Portland on their 50th year anniversary, your thoughts for the Nuggets?
Oh, man, hand me the hot sauce because I need to spice this up a little bit. Here's a tweet that I put out just yesterday. I'm going to quote myself. Let's be clear. Head coach Mike Malone's job should definitely be on the line if he thinks there's a small forward on that roster better than Michael Porter Jr. Getting him into the rotation immediately is priority one if Denver is to capitalize on the momentum of last year's run. End of quote. So I'm going to begin right there, Timeless. I did not see Michael Porter Jr. get into the box score or get into the game. And I have a problem with that. I don't care that you won 108-100 on the road against the Portland Trail Blazers. You just played each other for like the last three or four games in preseason, okay? Like they seen each other 10 times in the last 17 games that they played going back to last year. That being said, Michael Porter Jr. is the topic of discussion when it comes to Denver this early portion of the season. He and Coach Malone, man, miss me with all that stuff about how deep this team is and guys who played last year, you know, have earned this and earned that. Well, you know who earned something? Michael Porter Jr. He earned his right to be in the NBA. He went from projected to be the number one overall pick, having to deal with a back injury. Fact or fiction, he gets through it, and now you're telling him, wait, and he's healthy? You know he's healthy, and you're still asking him to wait because of what somebody did last year? Well, what have you done for me lately? I got a problem with this Denver Nugget organization and head coach Mike Malone asking a guy who has the talent and the ability to be at some point the best player in the actual NBA. You're asking him to wait for what? It's a regular season game. It's game one of the regular season. It's not like it's hinging on something. Your playoff hopes aren't going to be determined by this first game, and you don't put him in because you're trying to do what? Get fired? Because that's what I'm asking for. Man, if they don't get that young man into these games ASAP, it's going to be a problem. Because I'm going to make sure that I'm tweeting on a regular basis, like, yo, get this dude up out of Denver. He obviously don't want to win a championship. You need that young man to get on the court ASAP in games and situations that you know that everybody else on that roster found themselves dealing with last season. You got to speed this curve up with activity and action on the court. Don't just be like be in the environment. He did that last year. Be at the games on the bench and watch from the bench. He did that last year. When Philly did that with Embiid and when they did that with Ben Simmons, you know what they did the following season? They started those players. It wasn't no question. The talent, they started those players. Why are we questioning Michael Porter's talent? You know he's healthy. He's better than any small forward on that team. Dare I say, he could be the second best player on that team right now other than Joker.
Whoa, really?
You know he's better than,
really?
You know
he
he's better
he
than
hasn't gotten to play
the
NBA ball yet. Wait. He hasn't gotten to play any NBA ball yet. You already giving him the leg up over Murray?
Bro, yes. He played preseason ball. But you know he's 6'10". What do you mean? You can't teach height. You ever just look, go to YouTube and just do some searches on Michael Porter Jr. Like this dude
you're
is a
to the
problem.
I've seen him in Missouri. I've seen the whole run of Porter. Like you have to – I think you need to be patient with him also. That's a rivalry game too. That's a rivalry situation. Yes, I agree that he should have got some. What, the Nuggets and the Blazers are in a rivalry? They just went at it in the playoffs.
That doesn't make it a rivalry game. I mean, they're division opponents. They play each other all the time. What's new? All the more reason why you put him on the court. What is this whole be patient stuff? You know what? Here's the thing about sports and this BS. Man, like, people are living a real life. No one's promised tomorrow. No one's promised tomorrow. This guy has missed so much basketball in the last year and a half, almost 2 years already. What are you talking about? Be patient. He's healthy. What are you waiting for?
I don't know. Listen, I hear you. That he should have, like, I agree with you. He should have got time on the floor. There's no reason that he's missing time and not able to go out there and play. But, like I said, it's 82 games. I know that they're watching this closely because he was one of the players that, you know, coming from high school into college. I mean, he's injury prone as of now.
but we haven't seen him play any NBA basketball. So this is something that I feel that they're trying to watch this as close as possible before they throw him in there. But I agree with you to a certain extent. I don't say that he's the second best player on that team until I see him get some play out there. He has to go out there and play ball before I give him the leg up already. Like that's a reach. That's a reach to me.
Hey, I know talent when I see it. And when you see a guard package in the 6'10 body, it was just like somebody trying to tell me, like, yo, Kevin Durant not going to be the best player in the league one day when he was playing for the Seattle Sonics. And I was like, yo, you obviously don't know basketball. So don't make me tell you that.
Like I said, I have to see him go out there and play first before I give him the leg up. It won't be that easy. I'm not giving it to him that quickly. But they have an interesting team for them to get it done in the midst of Portland, going up against a quality opponent. I guess I'm being told I'm jumping the gun by giving them the consideration of being a rival. But, to each their own. To each their own. Any game or dish that you'd like to throw out here before I continue to keep chopping these things up, whether it's a game that I may have missed or a game that you want to touch on or a player that's come out the gate that is important?
I went left on the Nuggets because that was my dish that I was holding for when you did exactly that, like kicked it to me. I was going to go in on, what the Nuggets did. I didn't anticipate that you might have wanted to cover it. But what happened in that second half, just throws me for a loop. Portland, came out featuring, Hassan Whiteside, who's in a contract year. Hassan Whiteside was owning Nikola Jokic and got him in foul trouble. I mean, pretty much, was just very dominant in the paint. But it's always the tale of two halves, so to speak. However, there was just, this one particular, possession where Jokic was, making a move, but he was making the move almost like, I don't know if I got anything right here. He's been bothering me all night. And Hassan basically just stood in front of him and just watched him shoot like a little mid-range jumper. Like, he didn't want to guard him. And I had a problem with watching those types of things in basketball where, you've been owning the guy on both ends and now you decide, like, okay, well, we're just going to let you get your numbers. Now, for fantasy purposes, because I have the Joker, like, cool, thanks for letting him have, 20 and 13 in the second half in basically 20 minutes or less. But still, when it comes to getting a win, if it really mattered, you put your foot on the gas, you got to have some killer in you. You know what I mean? I feel like if it was a mindset of a Kobe Bryant, I'm not letting you get nothing. I don't care who you are. And so, if Portland is going to, as some people are trying to build this, if this is going to be a rivalry, then every possession counts, whether you're on defense or offense, and you can't let guys shoot the ball when you know you could put your hand up. Like, Hassan didn't even put his hand up. So what are we going to do? We going to single out Hassan Whiteside, or are we going to say, well, this is just game within the game because of sports betting and gambling now? Like fantasy stuff, like, Joker got to get his numbers every night, win or lose. Like, I don't know, man. I'm not trying to be a conspiracist, but in terms of that matchup, it was just some things that I saw that I didn't necessarily like in terms of basketball. But these are two good teams, and you've heard me say it last week, and I'll say it again this week. The Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers are on a head-on collision for, Western Conference supremacy in next season's Western Conference Finals. So is this the buttings of a rivalry? Not without Michael Porter Jr. on the basketball court. Like, you got to play your most talented players, and it's got to heat up because you're really trying to win. And I don't feel like you're supposed to wait until the playoffs for that to happen. So, you know, I didn't necessarily like how the whole thing went down, but I think these are two teams that you have to, you know, reckon with as a force in that Western Conference this entire season of 2019-2020. I'm jumping ahead.
Okay, no problem. You already put that final together. So, hey, we got it. Listen, he's predicting the future. That's Cleo. Okay. Like I said, we have to wait and see how that does pan out. I do like the future for both of these teams. The one thing that I'm looking at, and I'm hoping that Shaq didn't get under his skin, is this Portland Trailblazers team. Hopefully they could flip another page, if you will, and just can't leave this on the shoulders of McCollum and Lillard. Like, they're going to need these other role players to come in and be effective. Like of course, you know your notable. It's like Royce hit on with Whiteside. They already lost Myers Leonard, another quality big. You know, Yerk is going down with the break last year. I mean, they're going to need more than just the notable duos, if you will, like, because a lot of them may turn into the two-man tandem. But it's going to take more than them. It's going to take more than them because people are going to know what they have to deal with when they deal with Portland.
Okay.
Yeah. So, what were you saying? I was going to switch. Should we say it again?
No, I was agreeing with you. No, Portland's a deep team. I mean, they got some guys where they're looking for guys to step up. They're looking for Zach Collins to step up and have a big year as a full time starter next to Whiteside in that front court. They're looking for Kent Bazemore to come in and contribute. And play at a high level. There's expectations for Rodney Hood. There's expectations for Mario Hezonja off the bench, you know, to play a little bit of a point forward. Then there's expectations for, you know, second-year man Anfernee Simons to come in, you know, and back up Damian Lillard at the point guard, but to be a bucket. And so there's a lot of expectations on this Portland team. Like you said, from the role players, some guys outside of, you know, Dame and CJ. And so it's just a matter of seeing how all that, you know, comes together. I think that it will.
Okay. Game of the night, at least to me, the Charlotte Hornets defeat the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls. Well, let me get that correct. Michael Jordan Charlotte Hornets beat the former team that Michael Jordan came from the Chicago Bulls, 126-125, a one-point win for the Charlotte Hornets at home, in which you have the likes of P.J. Washington, rookie out of Kentucky, having an enormous day, going off for 27.
Breaking news.
Can you say that again?
Adrian Wojnarowski just dropped another bomb. Sun center DeAndre Ayton is now facing a 25-game suspension for violating NBA's anti-drug policy with a positive test for a diuretic. League sources tell ESPN the NBA informed Ayton and Suns of looming suspension tonight. This just came across at 5:54 p.m.
Well, I wanted to get to the Suns with that big blowout that they had last night. Well, we will talk about that now. Now that's crazy that Ayton is out. I wonder which way did they go because they look good out the gate. And they just lost the quality big and watching Tyson Chandler go to Houston as well. So they are without their quality big in his second season as well. I mean, your thoughts with this bombshell news for Ayton to be out of the roster right now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, this hurts everything that Coach Monty Williams has planned for this season. I mean, especially within the 25 games, that's at least a month and a half, almost 2 months of basketball. And so, look, if he's facing a suspension, and this suspension is fluid, and it goes through, he must serve it. You're asking Frank Kaminsky to step up. You're asking Aaron Baines to step up. You're asking Dario Saric to step up, and then you're going to ask some of your wing players potentially to play some small ball 4 and 5, depending on the lineups and matchups from night to night. And this is a huge setback. I mean, he's the number one overall pick from last season. He averaged pretty much 20 and 10 last year. Said that he improved his perimeter shot. Sounded like he was going to get the opportunity to shoot three ball. He's one of those quality fives that he has the skill set. And this is a surprise. to me. I don't think this was anything that was, you know, intentional on his part. I think, you know, he probably was just, you know, doing what most professional athletes do in terms of trying to make sure that he's taking care of his body and probably trusted someone to supply him and didn't read the labels, didn't, you know, make sure that what he was taking in, you know, wasn't, you know, on that list of banned substances within the NBA. However, you know, look, this is going to be a painful learning lesson for DeAndre Ayton, but I'm confident in what I've been able to ascertain and observe as this young man's character to believe that this will be a mistake that he only makes one time in his life, especially, you know, with the Suns. I just don't think this is who he is. I think this is just something that, unfortunately for him and the Suns, is just going to force them to you know, go in another direction much sooner than later.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad for him right now, especially the game that they had together as a team, and for the effort that he had an 18-11 night. But just like you said, I wonder which way they go. To me, I think they'll have to end up starting Aaron Baines to be the center and leave Kaminsky as the guy to come off the bench, unless they want Kaminsky to be the ammunition to come off the bench because he's a shooter and can score. So I'm wondering how they handle this situation. But for them to come out to go up against a quality team in the Sacramento Kings, who a lot of people were high on coming out of the gate, and for them to beat them by damn near 30, I don't think that much of a diuretic helped them win that game. So I feel bad for him. Hopefully he can get back, or hopefully his appeal works in his favor. I know, you know, all the schematics, everything, but this is a huge shot in the foot, if you will, for the Phoenix Suns. Speaking of which, within this same game, we had another player go down in Marvin Bagley. Marvin Bagley is out for the next 4 to 6 weeks, too. What's your thoughts on Bagley being missed from this team as well?
I missed that, Thomas. Can you enlighten me to the circumstances of why Bagley is out?
He has a fracture. I don't know what he fractured, actually, but they're saying that he has a fracture, and he's out for 4 to 6.
Okay, well, look. Get well, you know, speedy recovery to Marvin Bagley. This should have been, I think this was going to be a big year for him as well. Second year player. Look, plenty of upside, tons of opportunity. The situation now is Rashawn Holmes, Dwayne Dedmon, Ken Harry Giles, you know, play through what he's been dealing with for I don't know how long now. Seemed like for years since his high school career, you know, knee issues. They have Dwayne Dedmon there. You have Trevor Ariza. You got Harrison Barnes. I mean, look, you got veteran wing players who are going to be forced to play a little bit more small ball four and try to hold down the fort for Marvin Bagley until he returns. So Luke Walton's got his, you know, he got his work cut out for him, but this is why these guys get paid the big bucks. And one thing about the NBA, man, look, if a guy goes down due to injury, it's the next man up. And it should come as no surprise if you've been, you know, a fan of this league or been watching NBA players for over a decade or more. Like, look, the next guy coming off the bench, he might not be the first guy, but he's still pretty good. And look, this and it's all about the opportunity, and sometimes system makes a guy who's not as talented play just as well as a guy who's more talented. So I think it remains to be seen what the Sacramento Kings can get done during this time period. I know that they were going to be trying to make a push for the playoffs this season, but they need everybody healthy. So I think over the next 4 to 5 weeks, he's going to get a lot of Buddy Hield. Get a lot of, you know, De'Aaron Fox. Can Harrison Barnes be that third guy now as opposed to Marvin Bagley and do things that he did when he was in Dallas as their first option, you know, prior to them acquiring Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis and all of that. So, you know, I think they got a guy in Harrison Barnes.
And it's a fracture to his right thumb. So that's the injury that he has.
Okay, so he can maintain his conditioning, and he's a lefty shooter, so look, if he's about it, if he's really about it, Timeless, I mean, look, man, I've seen Kobe Bryant play through all kinds of pain at different times in his career, so maybe Bagley needs to miss all that time. Maybe he doesn't. Just how bad do you want it sometimes? It's your pain threshold.
And that's easier said than done, especially with, you know, what Kobe was chasing. Kobe was chasing greatness and trying to show the world that he could do it without Shaq. At least that's what I felt like was one of his driving purposes, and also, you know, trying to be as good or better than Mike. So he had a lot of factors playing into it. And I think he still played with that chip on his shoulder from how he started his career out there in Utah and had to build from that. But this Bagley situation, especially the way that the Kings were constructed, and watching a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein go to the team that plays tonight in the Golden State Warriors, this is probably another big dent in their pace to try and keep pace within the Western Conference. This is big, and I'm wondering about how they move forward, especially in the Wild Wild West. Okay, we do have a game that I know that I was watching closely, and Royce knows I was watching it closely, and that was the Thunder and Utah Jazz game. And the Thunder ended up losing this game by 5, right? Here goes the crazy part. I'm gonna be totally honest, Sports City, and knowing I don't like to talk about my team, but I'm gonna talk about them today. I really did not feel like we had a shot in this game. I thought that the Jazz were going to come out and take care of business and win this game handily. Especially with the new piece of Mike Conley, I felt like they'd be charged up with a new, you know, new season, fresh start, knowing that they kind of built together. This Thunder team, if they can play the ball together, like there was one thing about Dennis Schroeder, he didn't play efficiently or play well at all to my liking. Schroeder played bad. And Steven Adams, I don't know where Steven Adams was. I don't know if he was in New Zealand or if he was still in Oklahoma City. But Steven Adams did not have a good game. But I give Royce King credit. RQZ, I give him a lot of credit. The credit I give him credit on is Shai Alexander, right? He called this before the season started last year on how talented this kid was coming out of in his rookie season. And he caught the league by storm last year. And then he comes to the Thunder, and I'm like, well, his defense is the one thing that a lot of people anchor off of, but I want to see his offensive prowess. Last year in his rookie season, his career high was 24 points. He already scored his career high in his matchup first game out the gate with the Thunder. Now it's like, okay, does he get better? Is this where he, you know, his ceiling is, or he plateaus? But I feel like it can get better. You know, I really feel like this Thunder team is still trying to find itself. But this was one heck of a matchup, and if it wasn't for Donovan Mitchell getting hot in that fourth quarter, the Thunder could have stole this game on the road. And this was a situation by me, too. I also was calling Chris Paul out. I thought that he was getting a little long in the tooth, who I still think he's old. I feel like he's an aging point guard. But Chris Paul was coming up with some big shots, making some big plays as well. Him, Gallo, and Shai, they were doing the best that they could to try and keep it together. But they are just consistent piece away from and another consistent piece away from getting it done. And I know that they said Andre Roberson was out, but I don't even want to count him being in the starting rotation. I don't feel like he's a scorer. I think he's just defense only. I think they have to go with what they have right now for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't want to take too much away from what the Jazz did. They came out and played a good plan with Royce O'Neal. You also had Gobert having a good day, too. Like, they came out by committee. But Mitchell basically said, give me the ball at the end of the game, and closed out how a lot of, you know, notable scorers and big-time players do in the fourth quarter. Your thoughts on this game, boy?
Well, Thomas, you know, to touch on your Thunder, man, look, Gallinari, I think, played with Chris Paul before Chris Paul went to Houston. Gallinari played with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last year. In his rookie year, so when you're talking about a backcourt and look, if it's not for the injuries, you know, Gallinari has the talent to be an NBA All-Star in either conference. And he, you know, he doesn't get any props, he doesn't get credit, and neither does he seek after, but he is a NBA talent, like an NBA All-Star caliber player. I mean, he can score the basketball. If you foul him and send him to the free throw line, he's going to punish you with made free throws, so you don't want to send him there 10, 11, 12 times. Like, he's not going to pull the Shaquille O'Neal or Dwight Howard or DeAndre Jordan. Like, no, he's going to punish you from the line. So this is a team that has something to build around. Stephen Adams last night, I mean, he just struggled. I don't know what his problem was with terms of hitting shots in the paint. You know, from point blank range, he did have to obviously deal with, you know, Rudy Gobert, you know, altering shots. So that might have been the issue. But again, it was game one. And Chris Paul, while he didn't, you know, give 20 and 10 in terms of, you know, 10 assists, as you mentioned, he hit big shots. And, you know, he was crafty, right? He got everybody else involved. Phone over here blowing up, going crazy. That being said, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had an outstanding opening night because of the 36 minutes and the 20-plus field goal attempts. And the fact that, Timeless, this guy measures at 6'6", okay? We know that there have been many great wing players throughout the history of this game at 6'6". When you're a legitimate 6'6", and then you add to that, I think he has a 7-foot wingspan, great handles, probes, defenses, bobs and weaves in and out, makes moves like he slithers and slinkies his way through cracks and crevices because of his slight frame. You know, and then you think and you add to it, Timeless, his mentor in the NBA to learn the ropes at the point guard position was Sam Cassell last year. I mean, Sam Cassell started, you know, his I guess you could say his bench role with mentoring point guards with one John Wall at the beginning of his career. And we know Sam to be crafty. You know, he can hit that 3-point shot. You know, he can hit the mid-range game. I mean, Sam Cassell is another guy who's just really good at his job and a master of his craft. And so when you have those types of people in these organizations helping young talent, it just needs an opportunity. And so the Oklahoma City Thunder, man, in that game did impress me as well. I didn't think it was going to, you know, come down to basically a 5-point ball game. And there were points where the Thunder were winning that contest. But this is why it's the NBA and you have to play the games because it just doesn't go according to plan on paper. But I like what the Utah Jazz have to work with. They're missing a big. OKC is a player away in terms of being a better team. And I think both teams are in need of a trade. I think Utah needs to trade for an additional big body to help protect that painted area. If not, they're going to wear Rudy Gobert out. And when it comes to OKC, they need another player who can attack from the wing off the dribble and provide scoring punch. If not, you're going to wear out the old man Chris Paul, and then you're going to wear out the young gun in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, because even though he's 6'6", he's not really, like, athletic. He's not like a Dr. J was at 6'6". He's not like Michael Jordan was at 6'6". He's not like Kobe Bryant was at 6'6". So, you know, you can be 6'6", but if you're 6'6", and you don't really have that elite athleticism, yeah, we're going to need to get you some help, is my opinion. So, you know, I think both teams, the GMs, have some work to do there. And they're competent GM, so they'll get the job done. And it's official. Ayton has been suspended 25 games.
Wow.
Yeah, and that one thing, I'm going to get away from it because I'm, you know, I'm steaming about the situation. Yeah, I give you, you know, credit on naming the Rudy Gobert and how he has a defensive prowess. Don't get sold by that because Rudy did not have a situation where he was locking Steven up. Steven just was not playing hard. I really, to me, to be brutal, I really feel like Steven Adams is missing Russell Westbrook. I think Russ set him up for a lot of opportunities at the rim, a lot of those alley-oop situations or easy buckets. work well for Steven Adams. And I think either Steven's, you know, not fully vested or what, but it was plays at the rim where nobody was jumping. He would try to throw a left-hand hook, and he was missing, like, layup hooks. Like, he was right at the rim, like, and it's like, dunk the ball, like, finish. All you got to do is finish and help this team. For him to finish with 3 points in that lone bucket that he scored came in the fourth quarter, and then he got a free throw after that, there's no way that you've accumulated a $100 million contract over 4 years and think that this is the type of ball that you're going to get. Like, you have to show that, hey, if you're trying to leave, if you're trying to sell this to another team that's going to pick you up, you got to play better than this. I mean, there are going to be some teams that will bring you in, and you might work out just because you're physical big, but for the time being, do as much as you can to either, A, help the team, or, B, see your way out so another team can pick you up on an interesting note before you end up in the likes of, let's just say, Memphis, and then be the Memphis Huskies like Royce hit on. So don't shoot yourself in the foot. Hopefully you can be successful somewhere. Because to me, I was saying this for the past 3 or 4 years, and Royce can attest to this, I did not feel like the Thunder could be successful with the likes of Andre Roberson and Steven Adams. And Steven Adams had to step up in the past 2 seasons because a lot of people left. But if he continues to play like this, I mean, there's only one way that they're going to be able to go. And they're going to have to end up showing him the door. If he cannot be somewhat of a, and I don't even want to put this over the number, 8 and 10. Like if he gets you 8 points, which I feel like he can get you well more than 8 points. But I want to be safe and being fair also at the same time. If he can get you more than 8, then that's great. Like, but I want to put him in the light. So if he can't make his own shot, except going over his shoulder and then trying to get hook shots up. But we'll see as time progresses for this Thunder team. It's early out of the gate, and I don't want to totally pick on him too much. Now, there was a game that I was talking about, the game of the night. Now, we did overlook it because of the breaking news that was hit on, but it was the Hornets and Bulls game, in which you had the likes of P.J. Washington fresh out the gate, like I was saying, out of Kentucky, had a 27-point night. But Lauri Markkanen, I wanted him out of the gate when he came out of Arizona, had a 35 and 17 point night. There are a lot of 35 and 10 nights out of the gate in this NBA situation. Your thoughts, Royce, if the Bulls lose this game on the road up against Michael Jordan's Hornets?
Well, look, this was a great game to view, and it was great to watch so many young players on both sides of the basketball. Last night, Timeless, find the bottom of the net. I mean, good job of scoring the ball. It's a great shooting night for both teams. When you put things in this perspective, overall, you know, the Chicago Bulls shot 47% from the field. The Charlotte Hornets shot 51%. So, you know, a 125-126. It was like, who's going to miss? Or who's going to get stopped? And, you know, P.J. Washington, he came out the gates 3 for 3 from behind the arc as a rookie, finished with 27 points on 9-17 shooting. Didn't do much else, only had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. But he shows that shot is not a fluke. It's for real. And then Lauri Markkanen, what can you say? I mean, look, this guy was tapped to be – for the most part, you know, the franchise player. I know a lot of people were like, well, they wanted to make sure Zach LaVine was in that deal. And I'm like, yeah, when it comes to the trade, yeah, you want to get talented, quality pieces. But when it came to a draft pick, it was Lauri Markkanen that they drafted, that they wanted. I think he is the safer piece to build around. If I was the GM, I would build around Lauri Markkanen as well. So at 35 and 17, 13 to 25, you know, he's efficient at the free throw line, 8 of 10. Didn't have a great line last night from behind, you know, the arc. Was only 1 of 7. But 35, the hard way, the old school traditional way from twos and the free throw line, I got a player. Okay, that means he can score at all three levels. If you're a Chicago Bulls fan out there, I mean, look, you got to be excited about his upside and where he can still go. And then, you know, if he keeps putting up numbers like that, it's not too early to say he probably is going to be an all-star in the Eastern Conference at that forward spot.
That would be interesting if he did do it this year. I wouldn't put it past him. The only thing that I would not even say is a concern, but if Lurie got quicker, like if he had quickness to his game, like he would be unstoppable. He's 7 feet. He can shoot. He can play in the post. I mean, he can do it all, and he's slowly picking up defensive powers too. So, like, I really wish we would have picked him up, but I've been watching him since he was in college. Great talent, and especially to be lined up in a great game like this with the Bulls and the Hornets, and it's Michael Jordan's team that he owns up against the team that made everything happen for him up against the Chicago Bulls in a one-point game where the Hornets pulled it out. So one way or another, I got to applaud Michael Jordan because a lot of people picked on Michael Jordan on saying that he doesn't know how to run a team. Hopefully this is just the beginning. Hopefully, but we've seen the Hornets fall apart. We've seen them fall apart. Okay. I do have another game that I'd like to hit on. See how you feel about this team out the gate. I mean, they did lose. They did lose, and it's like year after year we talk about this team, but it feels like they're different this year. And this is the New York Knicks. For them to lose this game in San Antonio up against the Spurs, and it's like don't reinvent the wheel with the Spurs because the Spurs, it's just something about them that they won't fall apart. Like, they just won't. They won the game 120-111, but the Knicks did put up an interesting fight. They did actually take the lead at one point in this game too. Putting pressure on the Spurs, but nevertheless, the Spurs as a unit will always play together by Coach Pop, Coach Team. Your thoughts on the Spurs winning this game and any upside or any plus thing that you'd like to talk about with what the Knicks produced in this matchup up against the Spurs in Texas?
Well, San Antonio is going to be, San Antonio, look, the Spurs are a well-coached, group of guys. They're talented. Not surprised that they got the win over the New York Knicks. So we'll talk more about the Spurs later on in the season. But when it comes to the New York Knicks, after game one, look, I'm going to say what I tried to tell so many people the night of the draft. There was a point in time where R.J. Barrett was the number one pick in mock drafts for this particular draft class, not Zion Williamson. New York Knicks fans, you did not get robbed. I say again, you did not get robbed. You got what you needed, a guy who can actually handle the ball. And I'm not surprised, as I'm viewing NBA.com's box score, they have R.J. Barrett at point guard because he can play NBA point guard, and he should be the New York Knicks starting point guard. I think it makes him more valuable. I think it gives him an opportunity to make his learning curve, if you will, or his arrival date to, his ceiling, his talent coming to fruition at the NBA level. It speeds it up. It picks it up because the demand to play point guard at the NBA is such a great demand for, a point guard and the communication between he and his head coach. Look, this is the best case scenario seeming to, naturally unfold for the New York Knicks. You get a free agent who wanted to be there in Julius Randle. He's playing point forward, so you got multiple ball handlers and creators. And then you add a veteran like Marcus Morris who just nothing seems to faze this guy. He's tough as nails. So he kind of has a little bit of the intimidation thing working against some teams and other players, not everyone, but against some. And look, he can flat out shoot the ball. He doesn't get enough credit for being a guy who can score the ball against pretty much anyone. And look, the opportunity for Kevin Knox now to have at least three guys in front of him while he continues to find his way, because I think it's going to take him longer than R.J. Barrett. And so, look, if Kevin Knox can say to himself, I have an opportunity, even though they got Dennis Smith Jr., who doesn't probably like the idea that he's coming off the bench, neither do I see Dennis Smith Jr. buying into a six-man role, but I think Kevin Knox, you can get him to buy into, I could be the sixth man over the next couple of years and really be a guy who gets the lion's share of shots in this second unit. And I think that might serve a great purpose. And so if I'm a New York Knicks fan, one, I'm dialing back all expectations. And two, I'm accepting the moment that this New York Knicks team is in with this particular, you know, roster, and I'm saying it's a good team. They're going to win more games than they did last year. We won't be necessarily expecting a top one, two, or three pick via the lottery, but that's the beauty of the lottery. If you're a lottery team, you could possibly end up high. You never know. Is that how you want this team to focus this season? Absolutely not. Leave all that conversation to the management, to GMs. When it comes to the players and the coaches, it should be about getting better and getting wins. And this is going to be a good New York Knicks team in terms of its current core pieces in the next 3 to 5 seasons. I think this would be a good New York Knicks team.
I wanted to ask a question before we get out of here. Do they get rid of Dennis Smith Jr.?
It's up to Dennis Smith Jr. It's truly up to Dennis Smith Jr. and what he does while a New York Knickerbocker. It's what he does in terms of his improvement, his ability to knock down the outside shot, and to continue to just, you know, look, you've got to play make in the NBA. You got to not only make a play for yourself, but more importantly, you got to drive and kick. You got to make plays for other people. And it has to be on display night in and night out. And if Dennis Smith Jr. could find the ball in his hands and find a way to be a true playmaker for himself and his teammates, where these guys are put in scoring position, and I'm not even going to say he defends. I'm not saying he shouldn't defend, because if you're a basketball player, you have to defend. But his success in terms of determining whether he gets traded is not based on him defending. It's not based on that. It's on what does he do on the offensive side of the ball. Does he score? Can he score consistently and get others involved? If not, I think he's a movable piece. I think he's a movable piece. I think he's a young talent. That timeless, he may have to go the Emmanuel Mudiay route.
Right. That's what I was figuring, because for the amount of minutes that they gave him last night, I think that Fizdale sees that he doesn't fit that system, or something's not working, because he definitely is a player that should be out there on the floor, and he could be one of those impact players, energy player, but he just wasn't given that opportunity, especially in the Spurs game where he definitely could have had an impact. So I don't know. There may be smoke. I don't want to say there's fire, but there may be smoke. Okay, Royce, we're going to close up right here. Plug, close out, shout out. But I also, before you do that, your thoughts on who wins the night-capping game, the Clippers or the home opening, Golden State Warriors?
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, God, timeless. You know what? I know who should win this game. It's the Clippers. But it's the home opener. It's the Warriors. Anything could happen. You got Steph Curry, Draymond Green, D'Angelo Russell. Flip a coin on this one tonight, man, because it might be some powers that don't have anything to do with the actual players on the court that's going to determine this one. But other than that, bro, look, thank you once again, man, for the platform and the opportunity, for everything that is Sports City. It is TP Timeless, a.k.a. Tyrone Powell, man. We thank you for all your work. Thank you for everything that you provide for everyone who comes inside this kitchen, whether it's to talk football, baseball, basketball, boxing, MMA. You've had it all. You've seen it all. You've done it all right here, man. And I don't think you get enough props and credits for so many chefs who've come through these doorways, sat down, cooked up meals from scratch, and continue to hone and perfect they craft. Keep doing what you do, bro. We thank you for it. And to all those Sports City eaters, keep coming, man. Keep feeding your face. And I'm going to let Timeless take us out of this place. You hear that, boy? I can run.
I just take off my blazer, loosen up the tie, step aside the cap, lay Timeless is a lie. I just want to say this right now, Sports City, it's already going down in Houston. Even though they are beating the Bucks by damn near 20, Russ and Harden have already gotten into an argument. Things that make you go, and it's like, oh, man, Russ, don't go down there and spoil this stuff already. But they're taking care of business, and Russ is looking like he may end up with a triple-double effort already. There's a lot of time left. He needs 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 5 points. But I don't know what's going on. Him and Harden have already gone at it. Sports City, stay tuned. We'll be back at it tomorrow. The Aaron and Timeless Show will be back at it. Next week, we will start getting guests on that show as well. I'm feeling some type of way because the NBA is back full throttle. I'm going to take it away from Royce. In the words of that were said, and let me get it right. The words that were said in Coming to America, if his mama call him Clay, I'm going to call him Clay. I'm going with the Clippers. I don't have any confidence in Golden State right now. Curry is probably the lone person I believe in that they have to slow down. D'Angelo, I don't believe in you. You need more people. And Draymond Green, yeah, you are the mixing spoon. You make everything go in that team. But other than that, outside of those three, I don't believe in none of y'all. And they've already confirmed it this week that Klay Thompson will miss the remainder of the 2019-2020 season. Royce might be on something when he said the Golden State Warriors will miss the playoffs. I might have to follow Big Bro. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Tonight.
That's all I got. I'm gone.